So I'm Peter Royce, and by way of introduction, where I'm coming from, I coordinated Spartacus Books some years back, the Vancouver community. Now, I've been very fortunate to have paid work in alternative media, so I recognize that, and I'm very grateful for it. I worked in the community net, the regional free net, for many years. Co-op radios, I coordinated programming there, fundraising, and also the station overall. This is quite a few years back. And also I'm on a number of boards, including the Community Radio Education Society, which is the charitable society behind Co-op Radio, and, you know, an urban digger society around community gardening and my community center and stuff like that. So with the advent and sort of popularization of the internet, running our own media, I think, you know, as has come up here, has never been easier, really. But I think we shouldn't really take it for granted, because there was a period in the 60s when it was considered to be the answer, and that flowed over into the 70s. But for much of the past 25 years or so, most activists, I think, have been spending most of their time trying to get their sound bites into the mainstream, one way or another. And so the idea of alternative owned media, community owned media, is not something that we should simply take for granted. Now, before the internet, radio was a relatively affordable form of electronic media. It was easy to set up, it's fairly easy to maintain. Sound studios and recording equipment are sort of available, commercial stuff is available, and even transmitters can be got fairly cheaply because radio stations continually upgrade them and need to get rid of their old junk. And so, you know, and transmitters last forever, as one at Co-op Radio we've found. Now, whereas the other electronic media before the internet, TV and film, are much more expensive ventures. They're much more labor-intensive. They're much more intensive of skills and expertise to pull them off in a good way. So there's a lot of attractions to radio there. And it also has that sustainability built in. Now, Co-op Radio started over three decades ago now, so it's quite a while back. And it started with two groups coming together, two groups that were pretty rooted in the community. One was a group called Neighborhood Radio, who were really kind of radio nerds and wanted to build radio stations in every community in Vancouver. That was really their vision, to have locally based radio talk, you know, so people could talk to themselves and their neighbors about the issues that were of concern to them. And then there's another group called the Muckrakers, who clipped newspapers and wanted to critically analyze current market, current events, the media, and the like. So those groups came together, they built Co-op Radio back in the 70s. Now, in the early days, there were competing visions. Some people saw it as a community empowerment tool, and others preferred a more vanguardist model, you know, politically vanguard model. And neither vision really won out, but both aspects are evident at various times and in various situations of the station. And in a similar way, the station gets caught between being a social justice group itself and a media for social justice groups. But even that community empowerment model never really worked as it was planned to work. That vision never, I suppose it, what I want to communicate is that, you know, you create this big media, there's 300 people volunteering their time at Co-op Radio, and it tends to get very messy. You know, when it didn't really work as planned, the founders hoped that what Co-op Radio would do would provide the technology, it would provide the signal, it would provide even some training, and then community activists, social movements would come forward, and their programming would reflect their passions and their expertise. And I think part of the reason it didn't happen was because around that time, social movements moved towards getting their sound bites into the mainstream. Red Eye started way back in the beginning of Co-op Radio. It started as a funded program, a weekday morning show, and it was run by paid staff who were on some sort of grant. This is way before my time there. But as funding ran out, the show was moved to Saturday morning, so that people could actually have jobs and still continue doing the radio program. And it was modelled on, you know, the structure of it was modelled on the Sunday morning program of way back then when they actually got content. And but providing more local focus, more analysis of municipal and labour issues and the like. And there's always been an effort to cover issues that the mainstream wouldn't. So that's been part of the definition of both Red Eye and Cork Radio right from day one. So currently we broadcast 9 to noon Saturday mornings, live from the studios in downtown east side of Vancouver. A friend of mine once said to me that it's a good thing you're staying in the downtown east side. It keeps you honest. And I think there's a degree of truth to that, that being rooted in that community, you know, we can't deny the reality that's around us. And I think it adds something to the programming. It, you know, removes a certain of the problematic elements of professionalization of media. So we focus on the interviews with activists or academics where we're interested in their research or their papers that they've produced. And so we always have something to tie an interview to generally. But we also have our own take on news and reviews, and we do recorded talks and so on. When we need it, we also broadcast readings, you know, so we need to be flexible because we have 3 hours to fill every week. And so we've learned ways to make sure that time's filled with something and something that's hopefully going to be of interest to our listeners, to us as well. And so we have readings and material from elsewhere. Over the years, certainly even since I started on the show, we've become more political. And you know, we're usually questioning the dominant. We're covering mainstream issues, but questioning the dominant analysis or view of that issue. And we also provide a space to allow people enough time to sort of explore and contextualize, you know, their analysis in a sort of structured format. And we provide that format. So halfway through the show, we open up the phone lines for about 20 minutes, and we ask a question related to the previous interview, usually. And we also encourage listeners to comment on other interviews, announce community events, benefits, demos, etc. As with anything of this sort, you know, we end up getting repeat callers, often with their own fixed agenda, and you know, we struggle with how to deal with this sort of thing. You know, we're balancing, you know, listener tolerance and you know, access, this universal access notion of radio, and so currently, you know, when people call in repeatedly, we'll tell them to just, you know, cool it to once a month or something like that. And so I don't know if any of you've got that, that's why. So at the end of the show, so we do this whole thing. We produce this radio, at the collective aspect of it, we do the whole thing on Saturdays. We don't meet at any time during the week. And after the show, we meet for an hour or two, if it's going slow, meeting and planning the next show, and then we generally go to lunch together. And, you know, we fill in the content of the next week's show during the week on our own with a very structured approach. We have a show coordinator, we designate roles, everyone takes on various bits and pieces of what it takes to put the show together. As any of you, and a number of you have been interviewed on the program, would know, because you've been on the receiving end of, you know, doing a pre-interview and the likes. And I do want to mention that in one of the questions I was asked is, how comes you manage to last so long? And like, Cork Radio has lasted long by, you know, having crisis and staying on the edge of crisis. But I think one of the aspects of Red Eye that's really kept us together is just that, taking time out from the show, and every week we try and socialise after our meeting, so we can just kind of do other stuff, talk about other stuff in the programme, or talk about the programme in a very, very different light than the work aspect of it. And I think that's part of the glue that, you know, keeps us together as a collective. I mentioned doing pieces a few seconds ago, and what that usually is, we each of us take on doing and setting up an interview with someone on an agreed topic. You know, we brainstorm the topics in the meeting and delegate those to individual members. And we'll usually call the person to arrange an interview time and prepare a script and go over questions and answers and everything. And this actually goes into every single interview you hear. It's not done ad lib. There's writing behind it. There's writing behind everything, the way the show's lined up and everything. It's surprising on the show, just one observation, that it's not often politics that causes issues with new collective members. We really do encourage new people to come into the show, and that's certainly been a part of why we've managed to survive so long. We have a continual new flow of people coming in, apart from people that have been around for a long time. It's more people, it's not their, so much their, you know, their politics, it's more their responsibility and their assertiveness. You know, I think the thing that's very hard for us to tolerate on the show is when people say they're going to do something they don't come through, because then that ends up putting pressures on the rest of us to fill in that word. It's interesting that the collective members, if you plot a graph of us, some of us have been around for a really long time, and we're missing that middle few years, but then there's a lot of newer people on the show, and it's, you know, it's a great way to come in and learn some extraordinarily impressive skills in a pretty short space of time by doing it. So it's an incredible skills generating thing, as well as getting to explore issues that you're interested in. One of the comments I heard many, many years ago now from volunteers in the station is, you know, this was two in one week. I overheard one person saying to someone else that, you know, the problem with Red Eye is, you know, you have to follow the party line. They've got this party line, and if you don't agree with them, it's really hard to get involved and so on. And in the very same week, I remember hearing someone else saying to another person, completely independently, the trouble with Red Eye is, you know, they just spend all their time arguing and never coming to any agreement. And I think, you know, I tend to think it's the latter one that's ended up being our success model. You know, we come from quite a number of different places, different political things. We generally are rooted in political stuff elsewhere, outside of the radio program. But I think the sort of diversity is strength model has kind of worked for us. Though, you know, we've dealt with it, but there are some issues that are really a challenge to deal with on the program. And, you know, there's always going to be some conflict there. So you were mentioning the podcast, and yeah, we've been podcasting the program now since 1999, so getting on for 10 years now. We started with Radio for All, which is an anarchist radio project coming out of the States, I think, originally. And I notice now that, you know, we've got over 750 odd interviews up there, so it's quite an interesting resource to have, and it's certainly extended. And we also continually podcast through Rabble. That's really connected us with a network that's very important and given us a lot of feedback from that. And I just want to mention that one of the things that, you know, I question with the emergence of the internet, is it really still worth doing FM radio? And I suppose I believe it is. You know, FM signals are still very much sought after. You know, it really deals with the issue of distribution and printing that I've heard mentioned here. That, you know, with radio, you're there, you do it, and it's gone. And it also, you know, as a radical media project, it provides structure and deadlines and sort of collective accountability, which I think is really important when we're dealing with political work. And, you know, the other aspect is that we're in and out of the station in 5 hours, three of which are producing and actually generating live radio, which is a pretty, you know, exhilarating thing to do. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Now we have Armando Gomez from the project Alive in Mexico. And their time is going to be a bit longer because they are going to translate Spanish English. It's not because I am unfair. So thank you.
Yeah. Buenas noches. Por todo el mundo se crean nuevos y mejores medios de comunicación al servicio de intereses colectivos y comunitarios, creados como una alternativa a los monopolios de los medios masivos de comunicación que imponen su opinión como única verdad aceptable.
Good afternoon, everyone. Throughout the world, there's new and better means of communications that are being created to the service and the interests of collective and community, created as an alternative to the monopoly media, the massive media of communication that impose their opinions as the only acceptable truth.
Estos medios alternativos avanzan a pasos agigantados con el desarrollo tecnológico en la electrónica y la red cibernética, con el uso cada vez más constante y común de radios comunitarias y televisiones con fines no comerciales ni capitalistas.
This alternative media move forward with gigantic steps with the development, technological development in the electronic and the cybernetic networks, with the use, more constant use and common use of community radios and television, with the end goal of non-commercial and non-capitalist means of achieving an end.
Las experiencias se han multiplicado y los resultados son positivos y alentadores. La colectividad y no los monopolios deben de controlar los medios de comunicación, las comunidades y no unas cuantas mafias de multimillonarios.
The experiences have multiplied and the results are positive and inspiring. The collectivity and not the monopolies must own and control the means of communications, the communities and not just a few mafia of multimillionaires.
El beneficio de la colectividad es enorme. Colectivizando la información, generando redes de apoyo y afinidad, revitalizando los valores comunitarios y su relevancia como instrumento de propaganda en las resistencias populares para romper el cerco informativo, para romper el aislamiento impuesto por los grupos de los grupos antisistema y anticapitalistas. También genera conciencia, despierta nuevas ideas y experiencias uniendo a las luchas que se saben comunes.
The benefit to the collectivity is enormous. Collectivizing the information, generating threads of support and affinity, revitalizing the values of community. Its relevance as an instrument of propaganda and the popular resistances to break the informational the informational cerco, ¿cómo se dice?
Siege.
To break the isolamiento, to break the isolation imposed by the anti-systemic and anti-capitalist groups. It also generates consciousness, awaits new ideas and experiences, uniting the struggles that we know are common struggles.
El papel de los medios alternativos ha rebasado el campo de solo informador y ha servido como organizador de estas resistencias, con sus radios, periódicos, videos, libros y carteles, su música, construyendo una identidad colectiva y manteniendo la cohesión, así como socializa no solo las actividades propuestas, también la discusión que la antecede.
The role of alternative media has surpassed the field as being the information. And it has also served as an organizer in these resistances, with its radios and newspapers, its videos and books, its posters, its music. It contributes an identity, a collective identity, and maintains the cohesion as well as socializes not only the activities proposed, also the discussion that precedes it.
Pero el enemigo al que se enfrenta es enorme. Las cadenas televisivas y radiofónicas, los ejércitos de publicistas que funcionan bajo la lógica de servir al capitalismo salvaje, a la acumulación desigual de la riqueza a través del saqueo y la explotación, promoviendo el consumismo y exaltando el individualismo y la ignorancia.
But the enemy that it confronts is gigantic. The television and radio networks, the armies of publicists that function under the logic to serve capitalism are savages. The accumulation, the unequal accumulation of wealth through the pillage and the exploitation, promoting consumerism and exalting the individualism and ignorance.
Hoy, con la capacidad tecnológica de nuestros días, casi la totalidad del mundo conoce las series televisivas como Los Simpson, pero se desconoce la historia mundial y local de las comunidades. Es decir, no se ocupa en lo que realmente necesita la conciencia social, el arte y la cultura suplidas por el espectáculo, y la verdad sometida al interés de los dueños del poder y del dinero.
Today, with the technological capacity of our days, almost the entire world knows the television series such as The Simpsons, but they don't know the history, the world history, and the local communities. This is to say that they are not occupied with what is really needed in the social consciousness. The art and the culture that is supplied by the spectacle, and the truth is submitted to the interests of the owners of power and wealth.
El enemigo es pues enorme, y la necesidad de resistirlo también. Los esfuerzos deben evitar el aislamiento. Somos más fuertes mientras más nos sabemos luchando por un fin común. La respuesta a esta necesidad se ha creado por sí sola. La formación de redes solidarias, puentes que unen nuestros sueños y que identifican la pesadilla común a todos. Redes que rompen las fronteras, que se levantaron con odios y guerras. Redes que le dan impulso a la voz que reclama un derecho.
Then the enemy is gigantic, and the necessity to resist it is also as well. The efforts must avoid the efforts must avoid our isolation. We are stronger as we know that we are all fighting for a common goal. The answer to this necessity has been created by itself. The formation of solidarity networks, of bridges that unify our dreams, that identify the common nightmare that is a common nightmare that is common to all of us. Networks that break the frontiers that were raised with the hatred and wars. Networks that push forward the voice that claim our rights.
Estas redes también están acumulando experiencias, y en México, y México es uno de ellos. Servidores como espora.org, acervo.org, lunasexta.org, las webs, el Centro de Medios Libres del Distrito Federal, las radios por internet y por señal aérea como Regeneración Radio, La Que Huelga Radio, Radio Zapote, los periódicos y revistas, y muchos esfuerzos que se construyen como redes para apoyarse en la distribución de la información y sobre todo para contrarrestar la represión a estos medios alternativos que sistemáticamente han sido golpeados e ilegalizados para acabar con ellos.
These networks are also accumulating experiences, and in Mexico, Mexico is one of these servers, such as espra.org, acervo.org, lunasexta.org, and the Centers for Free Networks of the Federal District, the radios on the internet, and by the air signal, such as Regeneration Radio, La Quehuelga, Radio Zapote, the newspapers and magazines, and many efforts that are built, such as Red Works, to support the distribution and the information about all that is to counter-respond the repression to the alternative medias that is systematically have been hit and have been illegalized to try to do away with them.
Para los próximos años, toda América debe de tener redes que enlacen nuestro camino de resistencia. La lucha indígena debe ser una dinámica común de muchos pueblos. La resistencia contra los planes económicos neoliberales, la lucha contra las guerras imperialistas y las intervenciones son retos no de una comunidad, son retos globales.
For the next years, all of the America must have networks that bring together our roads of resistance. The indigenous struggle must be one that is dynamic and common to many of our peoples. The resistance against the economic neoliberal plans, the resistance against the imperialistic wars and the wars of intervention. There are challenges not of one community, there are global challenges.
Las redes de medios libres y alternativos son una respuesta global a los monopolios y al poder económico que controla nuestros países. Su función es indispensable y hoy más que nunca debemos de socializar el conocimiento de estos medios para crear más gente capaz de ser un comunicador, un informador de la comunidad. Para esto se necesita romper la elitización del conocimiento de las media. El trabajo de recolección, edición y producción de materiales mediáticos es sencillo. Necesitamos poner este conocimiento en manos de la colectividad, no esperar solo a que lleguen los grandes medios a informar de nuestras demandas. Necesitamos hacer estrategias que incluyan planes de medios para difundir, organizar y combatir con nuestros propios medios de comunicación.
The networks of free media and alternative media are a global response to the monopolies and to the economic power that control our countries. Their functions are indispensable, and today, more than ever, we must socialize the knowledge of this media to create more people able to be communicators and informator of the community. For this, we need to break away with the elitization of the knowledge of the media. The work of recollection, edition, and production of media material is simple. We need to put this knowledge in the hands of the collectivity. We shouldn't wait. We shouldn't wait for the big mass media to inform of our demands. We need to make to do strategies that include plans for the to make media available to organize and to combat with our own means of communication.
Alive in México es un proyecto de videoblogging promovido por Brian Conley y Smart World News, que desde Estados Unidos han creado el famoso proyecto de AliveInBagdad.org y el de AliveInMexico.org, aún con altas y bajas. Nosotros somos parte de la red de medios libres de México.
Alive in Mexico is a project of videoblogging promoted by Brian Conley and Small World News, who from United States have created the famous project of aliveinbaghdad.org and the aliveinmexico.org. Even with the high and lows, we are part of these networks of the free networks of Mexico.
Agradecemos su presencia, la de los ponentes que me antecedieron y la de los asistentes a esta actividad que busca ser un espejo donde encontrarnos y reconocernos. También una fuente de experiencias y una constructora de puentes entre nosotros. Muchas gracias.
We thank you, present, and the panelists appreciated me. And this activity, that's those that have come to this activity, the search to be a mirror where we find ourselves and we acknowledge, and also to be a bridge of experiences and a builder of bridges between us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. We are going to ask a special appeal to pitch in with a bit of money for our international guests, the project Alive in Mexico. A month ago, probably, we had an event where Armando was showing the kind of videos and documentaries that they do. They are really amazing. It's the only way, like all the panelists were saying, it's self-sustainable, which is very hard. So because they are guests, we want them to give a special, remember or gift from us. So Armando, we're going to make to circulate this box, and if you feel generous, that's great. If not, give what you can, and it's going to be passing around. Finally, sorry. And now, the idea of this event was also to do some sort of networking among all the alternative journalists or media activists. So meanwhile, the box is circulating. I want to ask you and encourage people that is here, that you are also working on media, are media activists or are using media as a tool for your struggle, for your social movement, to stand up and just to present yourself and to present your media, in which project that you're working, whether it's radio, print, or online portals, because the idea is to get you to know and also to present your project. I'm going to ask you to be brief, but it is just to know who is the people that is working on this. So just raise your hand and we have microphones here. I know you are here.
Earlier in the evening, my name is Brian Campbell, by the way, I'm co-chair of the Seriously Free Speech Committee, and earlier this evening, Don outlined the power of Can West, and it's so powerful that people create alternative media, they create, in our case, parodies of the Vancouver Sun, to ridicule their position on supporting Israel occupying the Palestine territories. And lo and behold, two people create this parody. 6 months later, a third person who had nothing to do with it is sued by Can West for producing the parody. And then 6 months later, again, another two people say, well, we did the parody. And the first suit continued. So it's not just that Can West controls the media in Vancouver, but they're actively going after people that oppose them or ridicule them or criticize them. We're not the only group. Mordecai Greenberg, Gordon Murray, and Carol Mossowitz are not the only people that have been sued by Ken West. Ralph Mayer was sued for things that he wrote in the Kai. This is called a slap suit, strategic lawsuit against public participation. it could cost Mordecai and the other two up to $100,000 to defend themselves from this lawsuit for which there's absolutely no evidence. Not only that, Ken West's lawyers ask questions about who attended what public meetings. It could just as easily be a question on this lawsuit saying who attended the meeting at this hall that night? Who were they? What did they say? Because they asked who attended Can Palnet meetings, who attended Seriously Free Speech meetings, who did you speak to about this, who participated in the criticism, who wrote the articles, who drew the graphics, all of these kinds of things. So I simply want to point out that it's important to build alternative media, but it's also important to keep a defense concept going for people that are being attacked by the mainstream media. And that's what Seriously Free Speech does. We've just put out a YouTube video last night. It's at Ken West Media Bully on YouTube, and I encourage you to read it. We have a ton of information on our website, www.seriouslyfreespeech.ca. But this is about not just defending Mordecai, this is about making Ken West pay a public price for what they're doing so they don't take on other people on the left.
Thank you. Somebody else? Don't be shy.
Thanks to everyone for the panel for coming and everyone here tonight. My name is Jay Hawk. I'm representing Homeless Nation. It's the largest website designed for homeless people. What we do is workshops Monday at Life Skills at 11 a.m. and on Friday at 3 at the Gathering Place. And what we do is we have cameras, we go around and we get videos of people on the streets, and we get their stories of police corruption and abuse and police making sweeps on the streets, confiscating people's stuff. And we're straight across Canada. We've got circulation in Victoria and Montreal, Toronto, and the East Coast. And for me, I was very angry at the system. I was homeless 2 years ago, and this is a creative outlet for me to sort of channel my anger. I feel that we do need some changes, but in a peaceful manner, and it's like, how can we bring peace about this? I know there's huge struggles, and there's lots of aggression and anger, but how can we come at this in a peaceful solution? And for me, it's been a great outlet to do this, and to, like I said, just to channel my anger in a positive way. And I'm not looking at like any homelessness, because that was just mind-boggling. So what I do is just focus on individual stories and people that I'm maybe interviewing or talking with, and just connecting on a human level. And I think we need to connect as a people and to just rise above the fear and rise above the anger. So I encourage others to be the media and to get the story out there about human rights abuse. And we need to document this on a large, grander scale, and sort of get past and get over this media giant that we're up against. So it's within all of us to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody else? Okay, so before going to the question answers debate, sharing ideas, I would like to make a couple of announcements. Well, it's not true, there are many announcements of and but it's related. The first one is about Media Democracy Day 2008, and it's going to be at 12 p.m. from 12 to 6 p.m. on Saturday October the 25th at the Vancouver Public Library. You can find more information about at www.mediademocracyday.org/Vancouver. If you want more information, Nava is here. You can ask her. Don't miss this event. Another event is on the day before, Friday, October the 24th at 7 p.m. at our community cafe, Raison. There is an homage to Digno Ochoa, a human rights defender activist from Mexico, and it's a memoir to her assassination, 7 years after her assassination. So this is Friday, October the 24th at 7 p.m. at Raison Cafe. And also, I have here U.S., Canada, and the War on Terror from Afghanistan to Guantanamo, Sunday, September the 28th, from 2 to 4 p.m. It's free. The SFU Harbor Center, room 7,000. And also, Tools for Social Movements. This is a series of workshops on Mondays from 6 to 8:30 p.m. It's starting on Monday, October the 13th, until the November the 17th. And there are an amazing series of workshops touching in very important tools for social movements, like, for example, research and writing skills, which is related to media activism, and protect yourselves, security 100, public speaking, creative expression, and so on. For more information, here the folks is Harsha and Harjab, if you want to know more about that, there are leaflets also. And I think that's it. Now we are opening the floor for comments, questions that you have. Yeah.
I don't remember the date, but I know that tomorrow there's an event about Palestinian issues, and there's also like there's a poster, so maybe it will just like light your eyes or something. There's also at the Carnegie. I know that's at the Carnegie. Film about residential school issues and also people that like been through that will speak there. And also later there will be an event about, it's not at the Carnegie, it's, I think it's Arbor Center, but I'm not sure, about the like resistance against the ski resorts, especially on the Coquillera, which is organized by, there's going to be three women speaking there, organized by VDPR. So if you look at the posters around, probably it will.
Thank you. There is one more public announcement. This is Palestine Political Prisoners. There is a forum from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at SFU Harbor Center on Saturday, September the 27th. So, exactly, tomorrow. Your weekend is already full. Saturday, Palestinian Political Prisoners, Harbor Center, Sunday, September the 28th, U.S., Canada, War on Terror, and then, on October, at the end of October, we have the 24th.